Wow, that's a lot of kids. You know, I kind of already mentioned this, but when I started this series, Relationships Are Hard, I didn't know exactly where it would go, and it's gone some places. I don't know that I expected it to go, and the first one that we talked about is it's not about me. And we talked about David and Saul and how David refused to give in to take the opportunity to kill Saul, and if you'll remember, he avoided it, but he showed him that he wasn't out to do him harm, and it was all about bringing glory to God and not himself. And we talked about that, and afterwards I had somebody come up to me and ask me, what do I do when I don't know how do I repair a relationship that isn't repairable, or at least the other person isn't willing to repair it? And so that was after that lesson. And then last week I talked about the idea that why not rather just be wronged. In other words, sometimes we can let go of all the stuff that we believe we deserve, and simply let it go and let somebody take advantage of us just for the purpose of maintaining the relationship. And I know that there are some people who are like, yeah, but how far does that go? And well, I hope today's lesson answers that question. But then I had somebody ask me, well, how do I go about this? Like, how do I start mending the fence that's been broken down? How do I, especially if I'm not the offender but the offended, how do I go about fixing this? And I thought today's lesson, I titled it Contention to Connection, and I fought with how I wanted to address this text and how I wanted to approach this, but I think I'm going to do it this way. So in your Bibles, in Matthew chapter 26, Jesus says this to Peter. He says, truly I tell you, Jesus answered, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. But Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same. And so I want to go back to this time. I want to kind of, you know, like Danny says, I want to transport you into this moment. And so Jesus has his disciples there, and his disciples are making all these declarations. They're making all these proclamations. They're telling Jesus, I'm never going to leave you. I'm going to be right there beside you every step of the way. I'm always going to be on your side. I will die if I have to. And then Jesus turns to Peter and says, you know, before the rooster crows three times, you're going to deny me. Before you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. Have you ever thought about what it must have been like to be Peter in that moment? Like, just think about it. You're fully convinced that you believe that this guy is the Messiah. In fact, you're the one who made the great confession about him. Where would we go? You are the one who has the words to eternal life. And when asked, who do people say that I am? Peter was the one that spoke up and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I know who you are. And Jesus says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And so Peter's that guy, right? Peter's the guy who was willing to get off the boat and walk on water with Jesus. Peter's the guy who cuts the ear off of Malchus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter is the guy, and everything about Peter tells you that he's telling the truth here when he says, even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. It seems like the right thing. So I want to go back to the text that I actually was going to start with, but that would have been backwards. So let's read what happens. Then seizing him, they led him away, him as Jesus. They led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, this man was with him, but he denied it. Woman, I don't know him, he said. A little later, someone else saw him and says, you also are one of them. Man, I am not, Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. Listen to this part. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and he wept bitterly. And so I want to kind of break down all of this, because there's a lot happening here, and there's a real opportunity for the relationship between Jesus and Peter to be severed forever. You get that? Like, Jesus knew Peter was going to do this, but don't think it still didn't hurt when Peter did it, right? And so Jesus could spend the rest of his life saying, "You did the very thing I told you you would do." Have you ever done that to somebody? Have you ever been so upset with somebody because you warned them of the very thing that they were going to do, and then they went and did it, and you're like, "I told you that was what's going to happen. I told you." In fact, I've had this conversation. How can you say you're sorry? I warned you about this. I told you this is what was going to happen, and you did it anyway. And so I can see this contention. And you know, Peter went outside and wept bitterly, but there's contention now between Peter and Jesus, at least as far as Peter's concerned. How can he ever face Jesus again? How can he ever stand before Jesus? How can he look Jesus in the eye? And then what's Jesus going to say to him? And I'm just going to be honest with you. If I'm Jesus, I know exactly how I'm addressing Peter. The first time I see him, weren't going to do it, were you? What do you have to say for yourself, young man? Right? I need an accounting for this. I need you to explain to me what's going on in your head and in your heart. I need you to explain to me why you did the very thing I warned you would happen. Remember I told you how Satan was after you? Remember how I told you that you would be scattered? Remember how I told you you would deny me 3 times? Shouldn't that have been enough to stop you from doing it? Yet you denied me 3 times. I looked right in your eyes. It would have been reasonable for Jesus to harbor a lot of hurt with Peter. It would have been reasonable for Jesus to demand that Peter offer 3 apologies. It would have been reasonable for Jesus to decide that Peter wasn't the guy who would speak on the day of Pentecost. It would have been reasonable in our world. But you see, I'm about to show you what Jesus does when there's contention in a relationship. And it's found in John chapter 21. And this is right after Peter was on the boat and all of his disciples were on the boat and they saw Jesus walking along the shoreline. They recognize him. Peter jumps out of the boat and swims to shore, though he could have rowed the boat to shore. And he gets to the shore and he sees Jesus, and Jesus feeds him fish, and then he takes Peter off. And when they are finished, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Can you hear the question? Can you hear Peter's hesitancy? Do you love me more than these? Well, I don't know. Did any of them deny me? Deny you? I don't know. What are you really asking? In fact, what he says is, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And I think if you pay attention, and there's been a lot of talk about the Greek and how the Greek word that Jesus uses, agape, and the Greek word that Peter used is phileo, and we can get into that. But I think you can hear that there's a little bit of offense in Peter for the question, but there's also a little reservation because of the question, because he knows the reality of the relationship between him and Jesus. And he says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And then listen to what Jesus says, "Feed my lambs." I don't think we recognize what a big ask this is. And I don't mean a big ask of Peter. I mean a big ask for Peter. In other words, he's saying, the guy who denied me at the day I was on the cross, the time he had the opportunity to stand up and make declaration and confess me before men and confess me before God, this was an opportunity for you and you denied it. I want you, that guy, to feed my lambs. He goes on and he says again, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And then Jesus says, "Take care of my sheep." A third time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He says, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." And so, after hearing that story and realizing what Jesus is doing, how many times did Peter deny Jesus? How many times does Jesus ask him, "Do you love me?" How many times did he tell him to go and do something with that love? Are you with me? What Jesus is doing here? What Jesus is doing is, I don't want us to focus on what happened. I want to focus on where we're going. Too often, our relationships are severed by the fact that we want to focus on the offense instead of focus on the opportunity. We want to focus on what has happened instead of what can happen. We want to focus on the pain that we felt instead of the promise that God has made. We want to focus on other things instead of the thing. And so this reminded me, when I was going through the story, this reminded me of the story of the prodigal son. Jesus just prodigal sonned him. Do you remember what happened in the prodigal son story? Do you remember how the prodigal son was like, you know what? I messed up big time. I'm not even worthy to be called the son anymore. And I love what the scripture says. It says he came to his senses, right? And he starts making that long journey home. And when he was yet a far ways off, what the scripture tells us, when he was a long ways off, if we were to talk about what that looks like somebody who hasn't yet gotten to the point when they make the declaration, when they ask for the forgiveness, when they make the confession, it looks like the time when they're still not where they ought to be. They still haven't made the right reparations for their sins and their misgivings. And he says, the scripture says, when the father saw him afar off, he ran to him and he threw his arms around him and he welcomed him in as a son before an apology had ever been offered. I had lots of titles for this sermon, and one of the titles I was going to call it is A Way of Escape. Some of our relationships are still severed because we simply don't give each other a way of escape. We don't provide you with a way to connection. We want to stay in contention. We want to focus on the failure instead of the effort. We want to focus on the failure instead, and we don't see it as a failure. We see it as we see it as an abuse. We see it as a hurt. And Jesus could have seen it that way. Dare I say, Jesus might have should have seen it that way. But that's not how Jesus saw it. Because Jesus realized what he could do with Peter was greater than what he could do to Peter. You get me here? Jesus realized that there was an opportunity here for Peter to go on and do amazing things. In fact, do you know what he tells him next? He says, "You denied me." Well, he doesn't say this, but well, I'll just read it. He says, "Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, "Follow me." Now, I would love to suggest that Peter heard that and was like, "Yes, I'm going to have a redemption time. I'm going to be able to redeem myself." But Peter's answer was, "What about John? What are you going to do about him?" Because that's sometimes what happens to us, and this really isn't part of the lesson, but it's just something that I think I ought to point out, is we spend more time believing or taking offense because someone else was treated in a different way than we were, instead of really expecting to be treated in the way that our relationship demands it. You with me on that? Do you know what I mean by that? Like, we compare ourselves to other people and expect our relationships to look the best of that one, but not the worst. Right? We want, well, why didn't you do that for me? Well, I also didn't do the other to you. Like, our relationships are all different. And we shouldn't do a comparative analysis to try and figure it out. And that's what Peter starts to do. And I love what Jesus says. He says, "If I decide to let him stay till I come again, what's that to you? You only need to follow me." So there's a couple of things I want to tell you. One of the best ways to eliminate contention in relationships is to provide the person that you're in contention with a way of escape. Provide them with a way out, like Jesus does with Peter. "Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Tend to my sheep." He gives him a way out. He doesn't even require the "I'm sorry," although Peter would have willingly given to him, I'm certain of it. But he, you know, and I have a trooper friend of mine that brought me up one of those silicone bracelets, and it says, "Don't be sorry, be better." You ever seen? You ever heard that phrase? "Don't be sorry, be better." And they hand them out to people. Believe it or not, she said she stopped somebody, and they were like, "I'm really sorry, officer." And she gave them a bracelet. "It's Don't be sorry, be better." And I was like, "That's kind of cool." But the truth is, I think too often we're worried about somebody making amends instead of somebody just doing it going forward in life with us. And I'm all about sorry, but sorry, as most of you know, is useless without action. Time and time again saying I'm sorry doesn't do near as much as time and time again saying I'm there. I'm with you. And just as the father of the prodigal son, Jesus welcomed Peter back into his fold, even though he knew Peter was going to mess up again and again and probably again. Jesus still welcomed him in, and he is our example. He is the one that we should emulate. You repair relationships by taking the focus off of you and always remaining on him and what he's done and who he is. Amen? So I want to do something, and it's funny because I get chastised about this a lot, actually. There may be somebody here who really needs prayer, and I don't offer it every week, and I'm sorry for that, but I want to offer that to you today. It is something that you always are welcome to come get. I'm available to you to pray with you. I'm going to ask Rudy to come up and pray as well. That way, if there's multiple people here, we want to give you the opportunity to pray. Maybe there's a relationship that you don't know how to go from contention to connection that you want repaired. Maybe you want some just God to counsel you in it. I don't care what you need prayer for. Maybe the connection you need to recreate is the one with God himself. And if that's the case, we want to be here to pray for you and over you. Will you pray with me now? Father God, I thank you so much for your gracious, loving kindness. And I just pray your blessings be poured out upon us today and that we begin to see that we will never out-forgive you, ever. And you have called us into your covenant relationship with you, though time and time again we've taken advantage of it, we failed you, and yet you always welcome us back. And that we get to celebrate that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Help us to celebrate that in our own lives and help us to offer it to others. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer, you're welcome to come up at any point during the song. Let's stand and worship together.